You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim on Spotlight, a show that tends to celebrate and bring together people who have such a great enthusiasm and passion for the community in which we live, and none other than our next wonderful guest, and that's Dr. Coralie Wales, Chief Imaginator, Western Sydney Communities. Coralie, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you for inviting me.
You have an incredible journey in your life, one that's taken you from many, many places. Can you now tell our listeners what you've been doing? Because I just think it's better to come from you, because the passion and the vision that you have will create better images in our minds.
Don't we all do that? My passion is the collective voice, and I guess from an early age I was looking for what is it that we're all saying together collectively, and so everything that I've done in the last certainly decade has been to do with trying to find the voices, but the unified voice of our communities, and none so exciting. As you say, I agree with you 100%. Western Sydney, just such a great community and such a rich community with so many treasures, and hearing the voices of those community members and community leaders and consumers has been a huge privilege and driver for me. So in the last decade, I guess, you know, starting off in the country with New South Wales Health and listening to people in the country and how they wanted to run their health and how they wanted health services to address their needs, and then jumping into Western Sydney, really exciting work to hear the voices of those community members and what influences their health and what do they know about solving the problems that other people really can't do without knowing their community.
And Coralie, that's really interesting, because we just had previous to you, the Honourable Shane Mallard, talking to us about the big things that are happening in what I call a quantitative sense with the airport and the Aerotropolis and all of those things. So to have you juxtaposed to the more quality things of life I find really, really exciting to hear your story. We talk about community councils in Western Sydney. What's happening there, particularly in this pandemic, because your mind must travel so many spaces to try and make sense of the narrative?
Well, community councils started. There's a beautiful hospital in our Western Sydney district, and that is Auburn Hospital. And a couple of years ago, before the pandemic, they approached me in my work for the local health district and said, we really want to engage with our consumers, and consumers are people who attend hospital and need health services, but they wanted to know how they could do that better. And so we took that question to a bunch of people who were already involved with the local health district, and we call those consumer representatives, and we ask them that question. And these are people that live in Western Sydney that have had experiences with hospitals or community health centres in Western Sydney, and they might have been involved with the health district for, you know, up to a decade, where they've been interested in collaborating to improve health services. And we took the question to them, and they said, well, we love Auburn Hospital. It's such a friendly hospital. It's a small, started as a neighbourhood hospital, and out of that conversation came a campaign in 2019, which part of which was to develop a community council, and that was to reach out into the community to find who were the community leaders across all the sectors, so education, council, transport, justice, you name it, any of those sectors. We looked for people who were leaders in their field, and we approached them and said, would you come and join us every month for a conversation to just connect up what we're all experiencing with a common goal, and that is for the health and well-being and the social care and the health care of Western Sydney communities. And it was such an exciting experience in 2019 to start out every month listening, and it just was an around the table experience where everybody would be asked the same question: tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods, what's going on. And so people would start to share their, you know, things that were happening. So the wonderful people at Auburn North Public School, who run a community hub for the parents of children from a refugee background or from a new migrant background, and those parents may not speak English, but they wanted very much to keep up with their children or support their children, education being a prime value and driver in their communities. So Auburn North Public School had amazing stories to share about what those parents were experiencing in parallel with the beautiful children at that school. And, you know, various of the leaders, the Gallipoli Mosque, we heard from people who were involved in that community. And all across, you know, it really, the Cumberland Council, Dooley's Club in Lidcombe, you know, what were the consumers, what were the communities talking about? And that was so exciting and such a, and people, of course, from Auburn Hospital who were part of that conversation. It was so useful for those hospital people to hear those stories about what was going on in their local catchment area, that when Westmead Hospital found out about it, they said, we want what Auburn's got. And so we did that. I'm no longer working for the local health district, but we put together a Westmead Hospital Community Council, and then Blacktown Hospital heard about it and they said, we want one too. And so we formed a Blacktown Hospital Community Council. And then, of course, Mount Druitt Hospital formed a community council. And it was just an exciting piece of work, because when you reach out into the community like that, you hear all sorts of stories and you learn. And it was a two-way learning. So, Jim, I'm sorry for the length of that answer, but that's what a community council is. It's attached to a hospital, but in Western Sydney it's really reaching much broader than the hospital, and it's very interested in promoting the social care that is often not the remit of a local health district, the social care, which is how do you make sure that people have housing? You know, you're not healthy if you don't have a house to sleep in. You're not healthy if you don't have education often. You're not healthy if you don't have access to good food. All of those things keep our healthies, you know, happy, healthy, keep our communities happy, healthy and well.
You're on a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We're really delighted to have on the line Dr. Coralie Wales, the Chief Imaginator for Western Sydney Communities, telling us about the significance of how important listening to everyone's voice is and putting that together to form a narrative for us to live as communities. What I love about your reflection, Coralie, is that we then need to look at why do we exist without getting too philosophical. What are we trying to do? What are those non-negotiable core values that we want for the community in which we live? And you started a project that's really taken off to a number of other communities, which is bringing around those things which are so critical, particularly in terms of pandemic. Now, both Darren and I absolutely congratulate you for taking on that conversation and building those relationships up, particularly in Western Sydney. It truly is a credit to you and the other people who you have come to work with. But if I'm following on from that, let me ask you this question. When we talk about community having leaders, generally speaking, they're trusted by whom? That's another question, but they're trusted in a general sense. Let's work from that premise. That message, what I was trying to really subtly say, sometimes gets lost in bureaucracy. Am I right in saying that?
You certainly are. What we learned, I mean, you mentioned the pandemic, and I think that's a really, you know, it's a crucial and life and death moment in Western Sydney. Right now, in August 2021, we have an emergency in Western Sydney because our treasure, our diversity, our cultural diversity in Western Sydney means that many people, there's a huge percentage of our community in Western Sydney that doesn't speak English at home. There is a huge percentage of us in Western Sydney who have multi-generational homes. And those communities, they look to their community leaders. These might be, you know, faith leaders, or they might be particular educational leaders, or, you know, you name it. There's a whole myriad of types of leaders in Western Sydney, but they are trusted. And these leaders know how to reach their communities. And I think the challenge for public health, not just in Western Sydney, but certainly wherever you find cultural diversity in New South Wales, which is a lot of different places, the difficulty that I think public health has is in hearing the voices of those trusted leaders and taking the message on board, and not only hearing it, but then responding to it in a way that hands control over to those trusted community leaders. So in other words, it's not here's our stuff that we want you to disseminate in your communities. It's more, what do your communities not understand, and how should we be communicating? What are the channels? Who are the people that can send that message? It may not be that the public health people are the best people to send that message. So it's really about control and power, in my opinion. You know, it's handing that control and power over to communities to ask the question and then trust the answer and then go with that response, which says, okay, you know best. Here's what we know in public health. We know that, you know, you must stay at home. We know that you must, whatever the messages are. Here they are. How do you want us to send that? And then trust that those community leaders know how to send that. I think we heard that fairly early in the pandemic from our community councils and from our communities. You know, it's not just limited to our councils, it's our communities. We heard that. And so it's really important that we get to a point where we can trust that the community does know their own people better than anybody else, and they will know how those communities will receive those messages.
Coralie, thank you for sharing that vital information, giving the insight as to how multicultural Western Sydney is and how much the English-speaking population can take that for granted. Do you believe that the Western Sydney community as a whole trust other communities? We're seeing a lot with the pandemic at the moment, how some leaders will be saying Western Sydney has been treated unfairly as opposed to, say, maybe the eastern suburbs. What do you think? And are our communities here in Western Sydney, and especially those non-English speaking backgrounds and migrant communities, are they being validated with things like the community councils and wider afield?
Yes, there's certainly listening to the voices and then responding to those voices is validation, isn't it? It's acknowledgement that the voices are and we need to listen to those voices. So the answer is yes. Listening and responding is a validation. I think that the really tricky part of this conversation is, in my opinion, that as soon as somebody believes that the message they've sent is clear and they haven't referred to or really listened in great depth to what community leaders are telling them over a period of time, and they keep on sending the same message in a way that is not actually going to be received by the community, then the risk is that you'll blame that community.
And you're saying there that the communication is the responsibility of the sender?
Most certainly the communication is. There is no doubt in my mind that, you know, a good communicator doesn't dream up their own messages and then send them out. A good communicator is listening to how is that message going to be received and seeks advice from the people who they're trying to send the message to, because it costs lives, especially in a pandemic. If we don't listen and respond in the way that our communities are going to hear that message and then respond, in other words, they trust the message and they're going to respond to it, then lives will be lost. There's no question.
So, Coralie, if you had an opportunity to, say, take advantage of the ability to change the way that communication is being sent, say via a health district or a community in itself, and just in general. How would you do that as a chief imagineer?
Well, what a chief imaginator does is tries to take everybody's imagination collectively and then come up with the solutions collectively. It's not a unilateral process. So in the event of something as dire and crucial, life-dependent as where we are now, it's really important to have everybody around the table. We can't be exclusive. We need to be inclusive, and everybody has to have a voice and be able to be heard and validated that their voice is important. It only takes a small community not understanding, not receiving the message for a major health event to be the consequence. So it's really important. So as a chief imaginator, I would say to anybody who's got a really important message to send, get everybody around the table, ask the leaders who should be at the table, ask the leaders who's missing from the table, and then go about including and validating everybody's voice and finding out what are the channels, what are the words, what are the messages. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, there was a campaign for Aboriginal people, and it was about, you know, some health issue. I can't remember what it was. Smoking. It was about smoking. And in the white community, in the non-Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community, we call something deadly if it's going to kill us. And so they had this non-Aboriginal person or people or team dreamt up an amazing campaign, what they thought was an amazing campaign, which said that smoking was deadly. Now, in the Aboriginal community, the word deadly means cool, means great, it means wonderful. Mm. Hey, that's deadly, man. That's really deadly.
Mm.
And so they had this campaign, which was smoking is deadly, and which actually had the opposite effect of what they intended.
Oh, dear.
So that's a good example of how if we dream up the message ourselves in our own brain without having included everybody's voice around the table to understand, we've got to first understand. We can't just go willy-nilly into an ocean of diversity without knowing what are the currents, what communities swim around in that beautiful ocean of diversity, and have we got them all at the table to educate us so that we understand, then we can use our tools. You know, we've got really great tools, fantastic, but the tools are not the end. It's the messages and the way they're received.
I must say I love that idiom, the ocean of diversity. Now, you did to say before that you're no longer working at the LHD, and that's the Western Sydney LHD. So what's next for Dr. Coralie Wiles?
I've loved my work in Western Sydney, and there is an organisation. So the local health district is a place, is an organisation that networks all the hospitals in a particular area and connects them to community health centres. And they all come under the remit of a local health district. And there are 15 in New South Wales. There's one in Western Sydney, and that's a bunch of hospitals and a bunch of community health centres. Now, complementing that, and that LHD, all LHDs are state run. They're state government run. To complement that, we all go to our GP, and we want to go to our GP because that's close to home. And it keeps us well, you know, if we get a bit of an infection, we go to our GP, if we're not feeling well. And the GP knows us and knows our family in an ideal world. And so we go to the GP and we stay well in our community. And the federal government, the Commonwealth, the Australian government funds a primary health network. And there's a whole bunch of those all around Australia, primary health network. And in Western Sydney, we're very fortunate that we have a primary health network that really strengthens, its job is to strengthen all of those health services that are in the community, like a GP practice or like a podiatrist or like an occupational therapist or a physiotherapist or psychologist, all of those things that we go to in our community, close to home, hopefully, that keep us well, that keep our mental health well, keep us well and keep us out of hospital. None of us want to go to hospital. It's a last resort. Now, the Primary Health Network in Western Sydney very kindly offered me a position with them to lead their community partnership. So I will be starting with them in springtime this year. So I'm looking forward to that. That's my next step, and I'm really excited by that because They're called Went West, colloquially. They're called Went West. And they are such an exciting organisation. They have a great leader who is a collective thinker. He is a kind-hearted, compassionate person. And they do great work. They've got a great reputation, and I will be part of their team to really, I guess, grow our partnerships in Western Sydney, to build on the work that's already been done, but to take it to the next level where we have huge networks of people that are very connected, that all have a voice, that are really, what's the word I'm looking for? They are kind of pushing the agenda for primary health in Western Sydney based on understanding, mutual connections, mutual respect, validation, listening to everybody's voices, and importantly, responding. Once we hear the voice, what are we going to do about it? You can't be deaf. That's my next step.
Coralie, you've given an amazing amount of time to things that's so important to Darren and myself on Spotlight. It's been a real pleasure to have you on our show. Thanks for joining us on Spotlight. It's been a real pleasure to have you on 90.5 with Darren and myself today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great morning.